Hi guys, welcome back to English Digest. I'm Pat.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
So we're on day two of our literature article.
Yes.
Yesterday we read the story, the novel Of Human Bondage by Somerset Maugham. It's a difficult name to pronounce, but we'll kind of find out today all about him and his career. Now, the title of the article is Maugham's Self-Reflections. So we're going to sort of see how the story that we read yesterday is closely connected to Somerset Maugham's life and the things that happened to him and his experiences. And so it's kind of autobiographical, which means it's about his own life. And we're going to sort of see all the events, and I bet you can find a few parallels if you think and look carefully. Okay, so let's read through day two of the article and find out about Somerset Maugham. William Somerset Maugham was born to English parents in Paris, France, in 1874. By the age of 10, Maugham had lost both of his parents and was sent to the UK to be raised by his uncle, a cold and emotionally hostile man. Maugham, whose first language was French, suffered in school, as the switch from French to English gave him a stutter. At 16, Maugham refused to attend the King's School any longer and moved to Germany to study literature and philosophy. When he returned to the UK, he studied medicine and became a licensed doctor in 1897. The same year, he published his first novel, Liza of Lambeth. Maugham's first novel was such a success that its first printing sold out within weeks, motivating Maugham to quit medicine and take up writing full-time. However, he returned to the field of medicine in World War I when he worked as an ambulance driver. Also during the war, Maugham met and married Cyrie Welcome, whom he had a child with and later divorced. Furthermore, Maugham, who identified himself as a bisexual, became the lover and companion to Gerald Haxton during the war, and remained so until Haxton's death in 1944. Maugham then started a relationship with Alan Searle, who stayed with him until Maugham's death in 1965. Many of Maugham's works were semi-autobiographical, most notably Of Human Bondage. Like Maugham himself, Philip Carey was orphaned as a child, was sent to live with a stern uncle, and endured a physical impediment. Moreover, Philip's travels throughout Europe were comparable to those of Maugham, who travelled extensively. It's believed that Maugham's bisexuality influenced Of Human Bondage as well. Maugham viewed women as his sexual rivals, and as a result, he often attributed strong sexual appetites to his female characters, such as Mildred.
Okay, guys, let's take a look at who William Somerset Maugham was. Well, he was born to English parents in Paris, France. We don't know why they were in France at the time. Maybe his dad's work took them over there.
Mm-hmm.
But he was born way back in 1874. But sadly for him, by the age of 10, he had lost both of his parents and was sent to the UK to be raised by his uncle. And guess what? His uncle sounds very similar to the uncle
in
Of Human Bondage. He wasn't very nice. We're describing him here as being cold and emotionally hostile or
hostile.
Hostile.
Mm-hmm.
I say hostile, but
yep.
Pat says hostile. They're both correct. So, it doesn't sound like a very nice uncle.
Yeah, if you're hostile or hostile, you're kind of aggressive, you're difficult to get on with, you're easy to anger, you know, if somebody
always looking
kind of,
for a fight.
Yeah, if someone questions you, you're going to kind of snap at them and get into conflicts with them. So, if he's emotionally hostile, you know he's going to be angry, he's going to be demanding, he's going going to be temperamental and, you know, if you don't do what I say, then I'm going to yell at you, I'm going to fight with you, that kind of thing.
So sad.
Yeah, and he's cold, which means he's not showing any love or affection.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty tough time for Morm. And we also found out his first language was French. Of course, mm-hmm. he grows up in Paris learning French. So he suffered in school as he has to switch or change from French to English. And this change, this switch, gave him a stutter. So a stutter is a speaking impediment. You would kind of really struggle with certain letters to pronounce them and pronounce words cleanly.
It's tough if you can't speak and kids make fun of you, of course. Well, at 16, Mom refused to attend the King's School any longer. And that's when he moved to Germany to study literature and philosophy. Kind of a young age, actually, to be going mm-hmm. off on your own. But that's when he moved over to Germany. Again, very similar to the plot of the book of Human Bondage.
Yep. Mm. And another parallel coming up here. When he returned to the UK, he studied medicine, just
yeah.
as Philip Carey does, and he became a licensed doctor in 1897. If you're a licensed doctor, that means you've qualified, you've passed the exams, and you've joined the Royal College of Surgeons or whatever
oh,
it is
yeah.
that would give you a license to say, yes, you can officially practice medicine. Remember,
mm-hmm.
yesterday we talked about practicing medicine, meaning just be a doctor. So mm-hmm. he's an official doctor. He's qualified. He's got the certificate. But in the same year, he published his first novel.
Wow.
Liza of Lambeth.
Liza of Lambeth was such a success that its first printing sold out within weeks. If you publish a book, they'll have different printing rounds. So it's like a round of printing. If a book's very popular.
One printing could
yeah.
be like several thousand books.
Right.
And then you sell them all off and then you print it
They'll
again.
Print again because
often,
it's popular.
Yeah, often a second printing you might make a few corrections if people have seen typos.
Yeah.
The author might provide an extra foreword and it gives you the chance to put some reviewers' quotes, you know, on
yeah.
the cover or inside it.
Some recommendations,
thing.
Kind of.
Exactly.
And also, if a book is very old, sometimes it will go out of print
mm-hmm.
and it's no longer being printed, so it's hard to get a copy. So he was very successful with his first novel. Usually a first novel doesn't sell out within weeks. That's amazing. But this success motivated Mom to then quit medicine. Remember, he had already become a licensed doctor and he thought, you know, I love writing, so I'm going to do that. He quit his job as a doctor and then took up writing full time. If you take something up, it's usually when you start participating in a hobby. You know, I've taken up sewing
yeah, badminton,
on the weekend.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, but here he actually dropped his full-time job, his career as a doctor, which is a lot of work, I mm-hmm. must say, to become a doctor. But obviously, his heart was in writing.
Yeah, he was yeah. motivated by the success.
Sure.
If you're motivated, you're given reason to do something.
The
you're
desire,
given that kind
yeah.
of impetus, that kind of, right, that's it. I've got this burning energy inside me, and I've got to use it to do this particular thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
you could be motivated to, you know, to help others if you know, you see somebody, you know, beggar asking for money and
yeah.
you're motivated by pity to go and give him some change or
mm-hmm.
something like that. Or you're motivated to study a particular thing because you think, oh, I really want to go to the moon, so I'm going to study so I can become an astronaut.
Yeah. Or maybe your parents have promised you, you know, a new video game if you get an A
mm-hmm.
in English. That motivates you to study harder. Well, however, it says he returned to the field of medicine when the world got involved with a terrible war called World War I. That's when he used his skills as a doctor to help the soldiers. He worked as an ambulance driver. I would have put him somewhere else where he could be used.
I imagine that the drivers still, I mean, they
maybe
probably,
they did both,
they probably
huh?
had to do both, and it was just we can only fit so many people. So
yeah.
An ambulance, of course, is the red and mostly white car that takes people to and from the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
In the war, it would have been the cars or carts that had all the medical supplies, and they would have just had to get them to the wounded soldiers as quickly as possible.
Yes.
And get them then back out of harm's way. Mm-hmm. So that might have involved doing some emergency surgery in the field to stop bleeding or stuff like that. So an ambulance driver would have had to have some medical knowledge or training.
Well, they got lucky with him because he was a full-fledged doctor. He'd been licensed. Nowadays, we use paramedics.
Mm-hmm.
They have medical training, but they're not at the level of a doctor, but they can save a life if they need to. It says, also during the war, Mom met and married a woman named Siri Welcome. I was glad you read this because I was going to pronounce her name Siri.
It could be Siri. We're not sure.
Yeah, Syria, the country we say Syria, so I thought maybe Siri. Welcome is actually spelled the way our grocery store chain is spelled here.
Yes.
Dingao is welcome. He had a child with her, but then they later divorced. If you divorce someone, it means you've been married, but then you separate as husband and wife and you
legally,
go off.
Legally,
and you go off and, you know, probably find somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out what kind of other stuff Mom got into, because it does lead into interesting parts of his personality and his writing career. But we're going to go to our Chinese teacher first.
Hello, everyone. 欢迎收听 English Digest. 我是 Holly. 今天我们要阅读的文章是文学单元 Unit 12的第二天课程。在今天的文章中，我们将会阅读到小说 Of Human Bondage 作者的生平以及他的创作背景。首先，文章的第一段提到作者 William Somerset Maugham 出生于法国，但他的父母在他年幼时就过世，因此他由住在英国的伯父所收养。但因为语言的不同，让他在学校常常遇到困难。我们看到第一段第二句的前半部分。By the age of 10, Mom had lost both of his parents. 十岁前，毛母就已经失去双亲。介系词 by 如果接一个时间点，可用来表示在什么之前或到了什么时候的意思。如果 by 接一个过去时间点，主要子句常用过去完成式 had 加 VPP， 用来表示在过去某个时间点前，主要子句就已经先发生。例如 ,by 4 p.m. yesterday, Jason had finished his homework. 杰森在昨天下午4点前就已经完成作业。另外我们也可以用 by the time 接一完整子句,逗号,然后再接主要子句。当 by the time 所接的句子用过去式表示时,主要子句常用过去完成式表示。例如 by the time we arrived at the airport, the plane had taken off.当我们抵达机场时，飞机已经起飞了。此外，如果 by 后面接未来的一个时间点，或 by the time 接一个用现在式表未来式的句子时，主要子句常用未来完成式 will 加 have 加 VPP， 意思是在未来某个时间或某件事发生之前，主要子句就已经先发生。例如 ,by the time Tom graduates from college, he will have landed a job in a trade company. 在汤姆大学毕业前，他就已经在一家贸易公司得到一份工作。文章的第二段提到 Mom 在写作上得到成就，因此开始专心于写作。我们看到这一段的第一句 ,Mom's first novel was such a success that its first printing sold out within weeks.Motivating Mom to quit medicine and take up writing full-time. 毛母的第一本小说如此成功，以至于第一刷在几个星期内就售罄，这促使她放弃行医，并全职从事写作。本句有一个句型 such that, 意思是如此，以至于。例如 Jeremy is such a considerate person that Kelly likes to spend time with him. 杰瑞米是如此体贴的一个人，以至于凯莉喜欢花时间和他在一起。另外 ,so that 也可以用来表示如此以至于。例如 ,the scenery here is so fascinating that hundreds of tourists visit it every day. 这里的风景是如此迷人，以至于每天都有数百名游客来访。本句用了两个片语，第一个是 motivate somebody to do something。动词 motivate 是激励、激发的意思。所以 motivate somebody to do something 就是指激励某人去做某事。例如 The teacher always motivates his students to think independently. 这位老师总是激励他的学生要独立思考。另外一个片语是 take up something， 意思是开始从事，开始对某事产生兴趣，或开始养成习惯的意思。例如 Kathy took up the life of an artist when she was 20 years old， 凯西在20岁时开始过着艺术家生活。 take up 的另一个常见意思是占用时间或空间，例如 these piles of books take up too much space in my room， 这堆书占用我房间太多空间。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hi guys, welcome back. So we've just seen that Somerset Maugham, he's been a doctor, he's been an ambulance driver in the war, he met and married and had a child with a woman, but then they divorced. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of going to see what happens to him after that, because maybe women weren't his thing. It says, furthermore, Maugham, who identified himself as a bisexual, mm-hmm. became the lover and companion to Gerald Haxton during the war, and remained so until Haxton's death. So if you identify, now you don't actually need the himself, you can just say, I identify as something, which mm-hmm. means you consider this to be your identity. Mm-hmm. Your identity, if you identify something, you say, that is me, that's who I am, basically. So we can use identify as a verb. And in his case, it was to be a bisexual, which mm-hmm. means someone who is equally attracted to men and women and will have relationships with both of them.
Mm-hmm. And he became the lover and companion to a man named Gerald Haxton during the war, World War I, of course, and they remained together until Haxton passed away in 1944. A companion can be a person, but can also be a pet. Man's most loyal companion, of course, is a dog. So somebody who is with you quite often is companion. You can accompany someone somewhere, but here a companion most commonly, if you say someone's your lover and companion, you live together.
Yeah.
Typically.
Now, of course, they wouldn't have been allowed to get married or live together in those times. So by just saying they are companions, then kind of, you know, the world sees them as very close friends who live together, you know, for their own support. They were comrades and during the war, so they went through a lot together.
Right.
Maybe the lover side of it was kept a little more private. Mm-hmm. But then Haxton died, and Maugham then started a relationship with another man, Alan uh-huh. Searle, and Alan stayed with him until Maugham himself died in 1965. So,
yeah.
So he has relationships with men and women. He finds, you know, love and affection on both sides. Mm-hmm. And so he is really bisexual. He's kind of, that's his identity.
Yeah, and he lived until he was 91, so he had a really long life. Now, many of Maugham's works were semi-autobiographical. Remember, if someone writes an autobiography, that's a noun, they're writing a book about their own life. A biography is somebody else writing about someone's life. But if it's semi, it's kind of, you know, it's got some...
In part.
Yeah, in some parts, it really feels like he's writing about his own life, if you're reading of human bondage. But again, we've brought this up before. A writer is going to write about typically what they know or experiences that they've had or that are close to them. Maybe they're writing about a friend's life. Of course, they borrow from other things too.
Yes.
But if you're talking about of human bondage, there are parts in that particular novel that are actually very similar to the author's life himself. Most notably, if you note something, it's something that you want to remark on, you want to talk about it. So it's very clear when you read of human bondage and you learn about the author's life that they have similarities.
Yeah, a lot of parallels. So, yeah, it's very obvious to see.
True.
So we have sort of mentioned a few of these as we've gone on, as we've taught this lesson. And we're going to see a few of these here. Like Maugham himself, mm-hmm. Philip Carey was orphaned as a child. So here we're using orphan as a verb, which just means your parents died. So an orphan can be a noun, child with their parents,
yeah.
orphaned, your parents die and make you an orphan.
Yeah, if you use it as a verb, you have to use be. Someone was orphaned.
Yes, yeah. It's a passive voice because it happens to you rather than it's something you do yourself.
Yeah.
And Morm was sent to live with a stern uncle, as was Philip Carey.
True.
We saw Morm's uncle was cold and hostile, and we learned yesterday that Philip Carey's uncle is strict. Here we describe him as stern. If someone is stern, they are kind of very rigid. They don't show their emotions easily.
They don't smile much.
Very serious.
Yes,
stern and serious are the closest sort of synonyms. Yes, they are. You're not going to really get much change out of them when you want affection or happiness or anything like that.
No. When I see stern as opposed to serious, stern also brings along that feeling that there are a lot of rules.
Yes.
Right? So his uncle doesn't laugh much. He probably doesn't show very much affection towards his little nephew.
Mm-hmm.
But that's way a lot of people, not a lot of people, but that's the way a lot of parents or relatives can be. This poor kid had to endure a physical impediment as well. Remember, we talked about Philip Carey having a club foot,
mm-hmm.
where when he was born, one of his feet were turned in. His ankle was turned in inwards instead of out. So that's tough. If you endure something, we use this verb to talk about going through something that's difficult, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can endure a painful breakup, if you know your boyfriend or girlfriend leaves you, that can be tough to get through. Here, we're talking about a physical impediment. An impediment is something that prevents you from being normal or prevents you from doing things perhaps that you want. We talked about, actually, Pat used the word impediment to talk about the stutter.
Yes.
You know, a speech impediment.
Yes.
Something that keeps you back or holds you back from having normal speech or prevents you from doing things that other people can do easily.
That's right. So, of course, the real Somerset Maugham, he had his stutter, which stopped him talking. That was his impediment.
Mm.
Philip Carey has the club foot, so he can't walk very well. And these are all physical impediments. They're to do with the body.
Mm-hmm.
They're to do with different parts of the body that don't work properly,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to a mental impediment, which would be some kind of mental problem or a mind problem.
Or emotional.
An emotional impediment, yep. You've got something like these stern uncles who just are unable to really express themselves for whatever reason.
Yeah, maybe he was mistreated when he was young.
Yeah, maybe
we don't know.
He just doesn't understand how to. He's just closed off, something
yeah.
like that. So, yeah, those are all the parallels with the childhood. We mm-hmm. then see that, moreover, Philip's travels throughout Europe were comparable to those of Morm, mm-hmm. who travelled extensively. To travel extensively means you go to many places for a long time and often. You're always travelling around Europe, in this case probably, or seeing other places, living there for a while, picking up local culture and customs, bits of language. And so Philip's travels, remember, he went to Germany, he went to France, they were comparable.
Yeah, it's there
an awkward sort of word.
Yeah, comparable is probably easier for our listeners.
Comparable is the easiest way to say
it. I say comparable.
Yeah. Comparable.
They're
yes.
both correct. Yeah. Comparable is just fine, though, and it's probably easier to say that for our listeners. So, yeah, he traveled a lot, just like his character. It's believed that Mom's bisexuality influenced of human bondage as well. Anytime a writer, you know, feels or thinks or believes something, it can always influence what they produce as a writer. That makes lots of sense to me. Mom viewed women as his sexual rivals. Now, if you're a rival, you're somebody, a rival is someone who's competing with you for something else. I always use the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox as mm-hmm. an example because I love Yankees. They're rivals. They try to beat each other. They want to win and they want their rival to lose. Well, a sexual rival is someone you're competing with for someone else's love or affection. And he actually looked at women like they were rivals because
he was into to men.
Yeah, those women were trying to, you know, attract a guy, so was he. So that's how he viewed women, at least in this particular book, too.
Yeah, and because of that, he attributed strong sexual appetites to his female characters. Now, notice that when we're using attribute as a verb, we're pronouncing it differently to the noun attribute.
Right.
To attribute something to someone is to give that person a certain quality or a characteristic. Uh-huh. It's often done in fiction. You give characters certain personality types when you're writing. You could do it in real life. You could attribute something to someone. And it's got another meaning, which is to kind of say that's the person who said that thing or did that thing or caused that thing to happen. So what he's doing here is he's all his a lot of female characters he writes about, he gives them strong sexual appetites.
More like a man.
Yeah, he makes them people who, you know, who want to be with men and want to be in love and are kind of aggressive in getting that thing. They will pursue marriage, they will pursue men to get them because he finds that as something he's competing against and maybe a characteristic that he thinks is bad because it makes them rivals to him.
Yeah, and back then, I would say the idea of two unmarried people having sex was less prevalent.
Shocking. It's shocking, I say.
It was shocking back then. And that sounds like his Mildred is pretty... it's easy for her to jump into bed with a guy. I wanted to say we often use that attribute to talk about someone you consider responsible for perhaps some success you've had.
Yes, that's true.
You know, I attribute my success in life to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So he had an interesting way of looking at things that perhaps some writers who weren't bisexual, they would write about women a little differently back then. It's very interesting. Yeah.
Well, we're now at the end of part two of our article, so we'll hand you over once again to our Chinese teacher and then come back to wrap things up.
文章的最后一段提到小说 Of Human Bondage 的主角和作者有很多相似之处，例如从小就是孤儿，学校生活不愉快等等。我们看到最后一段的第二句 Like mom himself, Philip Carey was orphaned as a child, was sent to live with a stern uncle.And endured a physical impediment. 就像毛姆自己一样，菲利普·凯利还是小孩时就成为孤儿，被送去与严格的伯父同住，并且忍受身体的缺陷。本句有一个形容词 stern, 严肃的、严厉的，相当于 strict, S-T-R-I-C-T, 或是 harsh, H-A-R-S-H.例如 The teacher scolded the naughty students in his sternest voice. 这位老师用最严厉的声音来责骂这些调皮的学生。我们再继续看这句有一个名词 impediment. Impediment 可以指身体方面的障碍或缺陷。例如 A speech impediment 就是指言语障碍。而 impediment 也可以用来指做事情时遇到的阻碍或妨碍。后面常接 to, 再接名词表示什么的阻碍。例如 laziness is the greatest impediment to Terry's progress in learning English. 懒惰是泰瑞学习英文进步的最大阻碍。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢收听。
So that is the end of part two of our article and all about Morm's, Somerset Morm's life and his times and his...relationships and where they kind of led him to write and how he liked to kind of write about himself in a semi-autobiographical way. But come back tomorrow and we'll talk about some of the deeper themes that we can find in this particular book of human bondage. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.
See ya.